Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of our fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord came on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and make offerings to him." Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amzai, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalalel, and of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimah, and Eden, the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elisaphan, Shimri, and Jeuel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jehuel and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uziel. They gathered their brothers and consecrated themselves, and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and carried it out to the brook Kidron. They began to consecrate on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then for 8 days they consecrated the house of the Lord, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the showbread and all its utensils. All the utensils that King Ahaz discarded in his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and consecrated. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the officials of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests received the blood and threw it against the altar. And they slaughtered the rams, and their blood was thrown against the altar. And they slaughtered the lambs, and their blood was thrown against the altar. Then the goats for the sin offering were brought to the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them, and the priests slaughtered them and made a sin offering with their blood on the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is the lamp to my feet, and the light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is the lamp to my feet, and the light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is the lamp to my feet, and the light to my path.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm a bit curious about your reaction to this evening's reading. Apart from the excitement of all those Hebrew names, it seems sort of, dare I say, boring. There's not a lot of drama. Perhaps it's just me, but thinking about giving a building a thorough cleaning doesn't fill me with eager anticipation. And I've never had the experience that such work has left me with a feeling of exhilaration. But perhaps that's just me. On the other hand, what the chronicler relates concerning the condition of the temple is startling. Doors that hadn't been opened, apparently for a very long time, and that, when opened, needed immediate repair. The holy place, with its seven-branched lampstand and incense altar and table for the showbread, where the daily offerings of God's people were to be made, not only not in regular use, but full of filth. And we're not talking just a coat of dust here. The Hebrew word translated as filth means things that are impure. The record in 2 Kings 18 concerning Hezekiah's efforts gives us an idea of the sorts of things included in the filth. In his work to restore the right worship of the Lord, Hezekiah broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. That which was an abomination to the Lord, idolatry and worship of false gods, had come to be practiced before the Lord in his very house. The bronze serpent, an item to which the Lord had attached his promise and through which he had had mercy on his rebellious people, had come to be worshipped as a god. Sadly, this isn't terribly shocking. How right the Lord was when he declared, "The intention of man's heart is evil from his youth." Truly, as Paul quotes, none is righteous. All have turned aside. No one does good, not even one. Remember, the Lord hadn't established the temple in Jerusalem for himself, for his own sake. No, the Lord had set this place apart for the benefit of his people. This was the place where they could come to him, and he would hear them. He gave them the sacrificial system so that there could be atonement for their sins. He promised that in this place he would hear their prayers and supplications. This was the house of the Lord, the gate of heaven, the place where they could come near to the Lord in repentance and faith and receive mercy and grace from the Lord of hosts. Yet in this very place, his people had turned their backs on him. This was the place he had established for them to come to him. And they rejected the sacred rituals he had given them and devoted themselves instead to the gods of the surrounding nations, who were no gods at all, who had never helped them, never blessed them in any way. And yet such things are sadly not limited to antiquity. A number of times since my ordination, I've had someone come and show me a Bible in excess of a century old. In one case, the man who brought such a one had retrieved it from a dumpster. That one was in pretty good shape for its age. There were plenty of indication it hadn't had much use. Perhaps that's because its previous owners had had other Bibles they used regularly. This one was big and heavy and probably wouldn't have stood up under that weight to all that much use. But of course, it's at least as likely that spending time in God's Word just wasn't a priority for those who had owned that book. That other things were more important to them than reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting God's warnings and promises. But that's just anecdotal. Surveys over the past few years indicate that 2/3 of Americans who identify themselves as Christians don't think that it's important to worship with other Christians. People who've researched on this note, "I'm spiritual but not religious" has become the creed of a generation. What people mean by this is that they don't need the institutional church, its gospel, its sacraments, or even other believers to have the experiences they feel faith is all about. And this, in the face of the clear admonition in Hebrews, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The Lord's Supper is a corporate activity. It's not for you or for me alone, but for us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. St. Paul could have written, "Faith comes from reading, and reading through the word of Christ." But he didn't. No, the Spirit inspired him to write, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." And earlier in that same chapter, the context clearly is hearing the word of Christ preached. Like the Jews in the kingdom of Judah under King Ahaz, who was Hezekiah's father, many Christians today are turning away from the means that God has established to convey his grace, to provide forgiveness, and to sustain and strengthen them in the faith. And the end result of this is that many will wander into false belief and even renounce the faith. May the Lord in his mercy preserve each one of us from such a fate. This evening's reading, though, is not mostly about doom and gloom. Although his people had turned away from him, the Lord did not abandon them. He blessed them with King Hezekiah, who trusted in the Lord God of Israel and held fast to him, who cleansed the temple and restored the true worship of the Lord. And the Lord was merciful to his repentant people and blessed them during the reign of King Hezekiah, not holding their wickedness against them, but forgiving them and showing them steadfast love and faithfulness. This is your God, who in Jesus Christ has forgiven you your sins, claimed you as his own, and promises promises you eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness in his kingdom. All because of your Savior, who fulfilled God's requirements perfectly on your behalf and shouldered the punishment that you had earned. So then rejoice in the Lord and in his salvation through Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.